Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from the home of Vikings training camp, Minnesota State University, Mankato. 2016 Verizon Vikings training camp. We're right in the middle of it. And we're going to give you an update on some things that are happening down here in Mankato. To help me do that, it's producer Nate Vaughn by my side, producing and also contributing via his voice on the Wobcast. Hello, Nate.
Hello, Wobby. How are you?
I'm good. You having fun at training camp?
I am. Got plenty of sun, working on my tan, look great.
Yes.
As you look okay, too.
Thank you. Long days, but fun days because it's filled with football.
That's right.
And jotting down notes about football and filming football, which you do on a regular basis, and filming interviews done with people who coach or play football. So lots of football down here, of course, and it should be. It's that time of year. Every NFL team in the middle of training camp right now. Your start date of training camp is based on the first preseason game that you have. I believe it's 15 days before your first preseason game is when you can report to training camp. And the Vikings have a preseason game coming up. It's a week from Friday, and it's in Cincinnati. And before that preseason game, the Vikings will spend a couple of days in Cincinnati practicing against the Bengals. But we're going to get more into the upcoming schedule at the end of the Wobcast. For now, we're going to talk about what's been going on here in Mankato over the last week. We've now been in Mankato for a week. The Vikings have practiced six times. The ordinary schedule for a day is a morning walkthrough from 10:30 to 11:30, a press conference, including Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, or a combination of special teams coordinator Mike Prefer, offensive coordinator Norv Turner, or defensive coordinator George Edwards every day after the walkthrough at 11:30. And then in the afternoon, you have a 2:45 practice, which gets over at about 5 o'clock. So that's the standard day down here in Mankato. Two practices. One is a morning walkthrough, and then you have the afternoon practice from about 2:45 to 5 o'clock. So lots of action going on. And I think, Nate, the practices have been good. They've been physical. They've been competitive and feisty. I think Zimmer has fostered that environment. The first two practices of training camp were non-pads, but the four practices since those have all been padded, and it's been physical and fun, and these guys are getting after each other.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I mean, it's coming from someone who is not participating in any real physical activity, but just watching from the sidelines. But it has been fun to watch, to see some of the competition, to see even some of the tempers flare up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Nothing too extreme, but you've heard Teddy say a few things and Coach Zimmer say a few things that, yeah, they don't mind that. It's part of camp, and it's actually good to see a little bit of, you know, edginess, mm-hmm. as long as it doesn't go too far.
Yeah, I think, and there are a lot of ways for people to take in training camp. I think people are watching highlights that are on Vikings.com or the Vikings app.
I hope so.
Yeah, we hope so. But there are a lot of people who are coming here. The crowds have been great in Mankato for training camp. Both sets of bleachers by the practice fields have been full for almost all of the practices. The fans are full for the morning walkthrough, so the crowds have been great. People are taking in training camp by coming to watch it. But I know people also take in training camp by reading the newspaper, watching the news, reading Twitter, because a lot of reporters do play-by-play. The one thing to remember about NFL practices, and particularly when you get into training camp, is a practice is not 2 hours of 11-on-11 football. You're segmenting it. You're compartmentalizing it. You're breaking up into positions, you're breaking up into sides of the ball, and then you're also doing some 11-on-11. And different drills and different periods of practice are designed to work on certain things and favor one side over the other at times. One-on-one pass rush, for example, might favor one particular side of the ball over the other, or 7-on-7 passing drills favors the offense, because there is no pass rush. I think that maybe is the best example. You see lots of completions in 7-on-7. And so if you're just sitting there going, well, I expect the defense to force incompletions, what's going on here in 7-on-7? Teddy was 8-for-8. Well, there's no pass rush and there's no tackling or hitting. So, I mean, they're going to complete passes. The question is, how many yards were gained on that completion? Because if during the 7-on-7 period, it's third and long. That's the down and distance during the 7-on-7 period, and there's a bunch of 5-yard completions. The defense is winning. So you got to watch carefully. And another good example happened today, Nate. We saw the 1-on-1 drill with the wide receivers and the defensive backs today. It was done in the red zone. It was done inside the 20-yard line, which is an advantage for the defense because there's only 20 yards to defend. So a drill that may ordinarily favor the offense, the 1-on-1 drill, is favoring the defense a little bit more because you're in the red zone. So it's been kind of fun to watch practices unfold and see coach put the team in different positions. And I loved the 1-on-1s today. There were a lot of really good plays out there that were made by both the offense and the defense.
1-on-1s between receivers and defensive backs, but also the offensive and defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I'm an expert at looking at what each guy needs to do, but mm-hmm. I mean, that's been entertaining to watch too. I mean, seeing Everson Griffin line up against Matt Khalil play after play after play.
Yeah.
You know, that's a show.
It's an epic matchup.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Matt can't take a snap off in practice because he's got Everson coming at him. And anyone who knows Everson or has watched him play knows a guy who's got a motor like none other. I mean, he never turns it off from the beginning of practice to the end. So Matt is never taking a snap off. And that's good, I think, for him. It's good for any offensive lineman to go against a player like that. I think the Vikings' interior offensive line is getting a true test with Linval Joseph. You know, he's so strong at the point of attack, and he's going to win a lot of his one-on-one matchups, but it's still good for John Sullivan and Joe Berger to go against that every day because they're not going to face a guy as good as Linval week in and week out. So more times than not, you know, they're facing an opponent who is not as good as what they see in practice every day, and that's going to help them and make them better.
Who are some other players that have stood out to you, whether it's on the lines or yeah. outside?
Well, Everson's having a really good camp. Not at the expense, necessarily, of Matt Khalil. He's just having a good camp. I love his spin move. He's very explosive to the outside, and then he counters with a spin move, and it's just...
I think he's teaching some of the other guys that move, too.
He should be.
Justin Tratteau pulled it out the other day.
Did
he
really?
I don't know who he was going up against, but
yeah.
you know, he's shown some flashes too.
It's a great move, and the reason it works so well is because he's so good to the outside, and he can get around you because of his explosiveness, and then he counters that with an inside spin move, and it's just been a lot of fun to watch him have such a great camp and to watch Matt Khalil try and contain him. And actually today, Matt Khalil did a really good job in the one-on-ones. I saw Everson try a bull rush on Matt, and Matt held his ground, and then Tony Sperano came in and yelled at Matt in a positive way saying, good patience." So obviously something they've probably been working on Matt with is to be patient, because I'm sure that Matt knows that Everson gets off the ball so well and is so explosive to the outside that he's very quick to overcompensate to get outside. So I'm sure that Coach Sperano has been preaching, be patient, so that you don't overcompensate to the outside and open up that inside spin move for Everson. So Matt's holding his own too, and I think this is making him better. But yeah, Everson's had a great camp, so the update on him is very good. I think Linval's had a good camp as well. You know, I've seen him have a lot of success in those one-on-one drills. So that's good. It's good to be strong up front. I think no matter who you talk to, Eric Kendricks is a guy that's standing out to people. And that's good news. I mean, the man in the middle of the Vikings defense, second year in Mike Zimmer's defense, was a second round pick a year ago, led the Vikings in tackles as a rookie, and that was without playing for the first few games, or at least not playing very much. And I think with Eric Kendricks, you see just a very instinctive, fast, physical player. And I really don't think he cares about much of anything other than football. So that's good. And, you know, not big on being interviewed, not giving long answers. You know, Nate, you and I have gone through that with him, and that's okay. He's not supposed to really care about that. He's supposed to care about being good at football. But I think Eric Kendricks looks really good.
What about a couple of the other younger guys? We'll go to the outsides now. You have your first round pick this year in Laquon Treadwell.
Yeah.
And then the first round pick of last year, Trey Waynes, is also getting some positive reviews.
I think the thing with Laquon that you notice is the work ethic. We were waiting to interview some players after practice, and it was Laquon Treadwell was like the last one off the field.
And it wasn't the first day either.
Right.
Like it's been every day.
Every day, yeah. Even working with Teddy Bridgewater after practice today, so that was good. So Laquon, the work ethic is amazing, and I love to see that, especially from a first-round pick, because, I mean, he's going to make the team, you know, so... He's got that security already, but he still has got it in him to stay after practice and for sometimes 20 or 30 minutes. So that's really cool. Love that. Laquon is billed as a big receiver, but I don't want people to get the wrong idea of that. He's not 6'4", 6'5", Mike Evans-like receiver. He's big, like broad-shouldered big.
And physical.
Yeah, and physical. Anquan Boldin big. I know a lot of people have drawn the comparison to Michael Irvin, who's a Hall of Famer, so not to put
the Hall of Fame
comparison onto him, but just in body type and how they will look in a North Turner offense. He's a big physical receiver, and you hear Mike Zimmer yelling all the time to his defensive backs, cut him off, cut him off, cut him off, wanting the DBs to cut in front of the receiver on an in-breaking route. And where the big physicality comes in for Treadwell is it's harder to do that to a big, broad-shouldered physical receiver, cut in front of them and get between the receiver and the quarterback. You know, Treadwell's got the strength and the route running and the quickness to make it really hard on defensive backs to do that. And I think that's really going to pay off for the Vikings this year, because even though they want to improve the vertical passing game, the Vikings are not a run-and-shoot team that's going to throw a bunch of bombs down the field. They're a power-running team that wants to be explosive in the passing game, not necessarily with 40-yard throws, just with big gains in the passing game. And I think a lot of that's going to come with yards after the catch with Stephon Diggs, Cordarrelle Patterson, Jarius Wright, and now Laquon Treadwell, all very big yards after the catch guys. So I think Laquon is a perfect fit in this offense and with Teddy Bridgewater.
And a guy he's been lining up against quite a bit, Trey Waynes.
Yes.
How's he looking?
Best day of practice was on Thursday for Trey. He had a great interception where he undercut an out route that was being run by Stephon Diggs. Teddy Bridgewater threw a laser toward the sideline, and Trey Waynes stepped in front of it. The reason Trey Waynes was able to do that is because Terrence Newman was being rested, Trey Waynes getting first-team reps, and Trey made a great play. From what I gather, the question is not Trey Waynes' ability, it's his confidence in himself. And I am sure it's easy to question yourself when you're a big man on campus at Michigan State for a few years and you get to the NFL and you don't play a lot. And you're playing behind Terrence Newman, who like does everything right. And you're playing behind Xavier Rhodes, who's custom built for Mike Zimmer's defense. And you're playing behind Captain Munnerlin, who's oozing confidence. You know, I'm sure it's easy to kind of question yourself, and maybe Trey did that. But Trey came on really strong at the end of the year on defense. He was great all year as a special teams guy last year. And now he's starting to make some plays at practice playing defense. And so I think his best day of camp was Thursday. So that's good. Hopefully he can continue it. And hopefully he can make a couple of splashy plays on Saturday night when that stadium is full and it can improve his confidence.
Another rookie that was a pleasant surprise last year, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I would say picked up right where he left off, but yeah. But that would be doing him a disservice. He looks like even almost a completely different player, just a better version of himself.
More comfortable in the offense and bigger physically, I think.
Yeah.
And it will not surprise me if he's kind of the go-to receiver in this offense, if he leads the team in catches.
And he's taking sort of a leadership role within the receivers group too. Yes. It's easy to see.
And he's really got like kind of a chip on the shoulder demeanor, I think. He's a nice guy. If you run into him after practice or on the street or wherever, I'm sure he's going to be nice to you, but kind of plays with a little nasty streak on the field, and that's just here at practice. So I can't even imagine what it will be like during games. But a lot to like about Stephon Diggs.
Finally, the guy in the middle of it all. How's Teddy Bridgewater looking?
I think he's had a really good camp. I don't know that Thursday was his best day of camp. It was a pretty good day, but the first five practices for Teddy have been totally smooth and good. And I really think you're seeing a more comfortable player, just from a pre-snap. And from an intangible standpoint, I think Teddy is really solid and has really demonstrated improvement. And if you listen to Mike Zimmer, it sounds like he's also improving from a physical standpoint. You know, Coach Zimmer commenting that Teddy's got a little zip on the ball, so that's good as well. And you just don't see him make a lot of mistakes. He had an interception in the two-minute period in the end zone today. But you give Xavier Rhodes a lot of credit for making that play. But that's really one of the only mistakes I've seen him make all of camp. Really smooth. He's in a good mood. He looks good in terms of command over the huddle and at the line of scrimmage. So I'm really encouraged from what we've seen from Teddy so far.
Finally, let's talk about special teams a little bit. How's that trio looking?
Well, Blair Walsh has been really good. He was 8 of 8 on the first day. And then I watched him with the first four kicks today, and he made those. So he was 12 of his first 12, but then I missed his final four kicks of this most recent practice. So I'm assuming he made, you know, four or three of them. So he's been really good. Blair's been good. And so I'm encouraged by that, but I have no reason to question him. I know the big missed kick in the playoffs is, you know, that caused a lot of grief. But I can't wait to watch him kick again. I think he's been really solid. He seems to be in a good mindset. Coach Prefer has said as much, so we're good there. And yet we haven't seen Jeff Locke punt very much during live practice. I'm sure they've been doing a lot of it off to the side. But I think that's really going to come down to what does he do in the games. So, you know, Coach Prefer has said he needs to have a good training camp to avoid bringing another guy in here for competition. And I have no reason to think he's had anything but a good training camp. And another thing that Jeff, you know, that about Jeff is he's his harshest critic, you know, so it's not going to take you and I or anyone else to sit here and talk about him. He knows he's got to get better. And I think he will. And I think for those guys, it's really going to start to matter when they play preseason games and the pressure of kicking is on during a game. I think that's when you're really going to be able to measure them. Cordell Patterson is injured and is not returning, obviously, because he's not practicing. He's going to be the kickoff returner.
He's not kick returning.
Right. Sorry. Yeah, he's returning
to
the team.
Scared me there for a second.
Sorry. He's returning to the team, but he's not returning kickoffs right now because he's hurt. He hurt his shoulder on the second day of practice.
Just had to clarify.
Right. Thanks for doing that.
You're welcome.
In his stead, it's been Marcus Sherrills, who's been with the first team returning kickoffs. But we've also seen Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and Troy Stoudemire and some other people returning kickoffs. So I do believe that'll be Patterson's job once he's healthy. But for now, it's been a village that's been taking the reps. But primarily, Marcus Sherrills has been doing the kickoff return duties, adding to his punt return duties as well. So Marcus Sherrills, just one more thing he can do to help the team. Marcus Sherrills, I mean, what can he do? So it's been a good camp for Marcus Sherrills, but hopefully we can get Cordell Patterson back and healthy and ready to go for next week in Cincinnati. And if not then for the following week as the team gets ready for its second preseason game, which will be in Seattle.
Yeah, so it's been a week here in Mankato. What is coming up? We're not going to be here for much longer.
No,
we're not. What else is coming up in the near future?
We're over half done.
That's crazy.
Over half done with camp. Coming up is a normal practice day on Friday and then a night practice on Saturday. And after the night practice, which is from 7:15 to 9:15, I believe, there will be fireworks.
Cool.
So that'll be cool. Sunday is a player's day off. And then Monday, I believe, is fan appreciation day. It will be a normal day of practice with a morning walkthrough and then an afternoon practice, but it will be fan appreciation day. So all sorts of cool things going on Monday. And then on Tuesday, the team will practice for 2 hours in the morning from 8 to 10. We will bus up to Winter Park to bus to the airport to fly to Cincy on Tuesday night. And then we'll practice in Cincinnati against the Bengals on Wednesday. And a little bit of a teaser, there's going to be a certain head coach who's going to be mic'd up for that practice. I know everyone enjoyed.
You have two to choose from.
Right. And you can take your guess as to which one it's going to be. I know that people have really enjoyed the Mike Zimmer mic'd up piece that's up on the website right now. Well, we're going to have one from Cincinnati next week because we practice against the Bengals on Wednesday. We'll have coach mic'd up for that. And then the Vikings will practice against the Bengals on Thursday as well. And then they will play the Bengals at Paul Brown Stadium on Friday night to kick off the preseason. They will return from Cincinnati after the game as they always do, but we will not come back to Mankato. Training camp will move to Eden Prairie. And it'll be at Winter Park for the duration of the preseason. So when the Vikings leave on Tuesday for Cincinnati, that will be the breaking point of Mankato training camp. The 51st year the Vikings have called Mankato their training camp home. Another great training camp. We're in the middle of it right now. Lots of action so far. If you've been checking out the website and the Vikings app, you've caught all of it. If you haven't been doing that, what is wrong with you? You should be doing that. We encourage you to do so. If you have not downloaded the Vikings app, you should. All of our content delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. Jordan and I will be filming a pick six soon, so that will be up soon. The Monday Morning Mailbag will return next week on Monday, and we're rolling down here in Mankato. I think, Nate, we've emptied the notebook. We're good to go, right?
I think we're good to go.
Okay. That's a lot of info, but that's what's been going on down here in Mankato. Make sure you send your questions to us. You can submit them to me on Twitter. You can submit them to me via email. You can find my email address on the latest edition of the Monday Morning Mailbag. Make sure you send in your questions so Nate and I can address them on the next edition of the Wobcast. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This edition of the Wobcast is over. Training camp continues. So make sure you stay tuned to Vikings.com, and we'll catch you next time.